You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You know, we pray, but as they get around, let me pray again. Father, I do thank you so much for the Lord's Day, your day. And I pray that our nation would come back to thee. I'm so burdened about our churches closing their doors on Sunday night. I don't understand how we get so to the point where we just don't believe we need to go to church on Sunday all day. And our nation's falling apart. 385,000 churches, most will be dark tonight. There'll be no preaching. Those millions of dollars and billions of dollars of buildings will sit empty. No choir, no congregational singing, no tears, nobody called to preach, nobody saved in those buildings. And then we wonder why we're parading through the streets as transvestites and sodomites and teaching our children how to change their biological bodies. It's the church house, God. And I pray that this morning, though I'm not speaking on that subject, that you'd speak to our hearts about this word midst, in the middle. We're right in the middle of the year. 182.5 days have come and 182.5 days ahead. May we do our best to dedicate these days to thee, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's obvious we're at the halfway point on this Sunday and right in the middle of the year. And it's been a good year for this church thus far. We've had so many people saved and baptized and so many miracles taking place. But this word midst, as I've told you, just occupied my mind. I wish it was found one more time in the Bible. It's found 364 times in the Bible. We need one more. Could maybe somebody write some scripture or something. Nowadays, you can do whatever you want to do. But 364 times, God says middle, right in the middle. And I want us to, throughout this week, review this first 6 months. Would you take inventory? Would you take some time, 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes, and review everything, spiritually, family, financially, socially, Christian service, what it's been like the first 6 months? What have we done with our Bible? What have we done with prayer? And then when we look ahead, what are we going to do? How are we going to spend the days that God gives us? In these first 6 months, we've had many funerals in this church. And I would imagine, though we don't know who, like we did not know any of those, you know, we've had them in their 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond. And none of them, I think of our last funeral last week, my deacon, Brother Milo's, just sat here in church on Sunday night, not knowing that on Monday, in an appointment, he'd pass away. I wonder what the first 6 months looks like for you. I'm ashamed about some things in my own life. Got careless, maybe in some things. You say, well, did you not? Every morning in my life, I don't have to set an alarm. By 4 o'clock, I'm awake. I never stay after 5 o'clock in the bed. And I get up and I seek to walk with God and pray and seek His face. But I've missed opportunities of perhaps deeds of kindness or perhaps soul winning or perhaps longer times in prayer than I should have had. None of us have arrived. What needs to change? What needs to change in your life? What needs to change? So this word midst, I see that the word midst is found Genesis 2:9, second chapter of the Bible, in the midst of the garden. Right in the middle was the tree of life. I look over here in the book of Numbers in chapter number 3, how that God put a tabernacle right in the midst of the children of Israel, nearly 2 million Jews, and there were 3 tribes to the north and 3 to the south and 3 to the east and 3 to the west. And as the tabernacle, what we would call the New Testament church now, but it's in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, then the temple, and the altars before that. But that, as that moved, so the families of God. Move your house and family around the house of God. God gives us in the midst of it. This church, your church, Sunday night's not an option, folks. Wednesday night, God met with us. Our principal spoke to us, and what a powerful service we had. And just don't mess with so much the more as we see the day approaching. I think about Esther chapter 4. Mordecai got word that Haman was said, okay, and here's this amazing thing, Pastor. He said, death to the Jews. Kill the Jew. Mordecai, who was a Jew, he heard those words and he put sackcloth on and he did not go outside the city. He went smack dab right in the middle of the city and began to cry aloud that God would intervene. Not ashamed to call on God in the midst of that city. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2:15 reminds us that we are serving God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. God strategically located you where you are in your neighborhood, and me and my wife as well. And God strategically located you in your job in the midst of perverseness, in the midst of sin and corruption. God put you there and God put me there. And as Paul says, to be a shining light for the name of Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the word midst in the Bible and in life, we see the word middle. And I'll get to my message momentarily. I enjoy that word middle. I think of basketball and football, halftime. It's the middle of the game. A coach and the players, they get together and the coach makes adjustments. And here's what we're doing right. Here's what we're doing wrong. Here's what we have to do. At the midway point, there's middle school between elementary and high school, 7th and 8th. There's the middle of the night. I think of words like the middle class. I think of the word in the Middle Ages. The 5th century through the 15th century are called the Middle Ages. And in that time was the Dark Ages, when they slaughtered millions of Christians in Rome and put them under the city in what is now called the catacombs, because they believed in Jesus Christ and their bones and skulls and skeletons are still there. I think of my friend Tony Hudson, who pastors Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. I think of years ago, we had a staff member here, and I believe she lives in Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, Joanna Middleton. That's right smack dab in the middle. I think of Brother Reimers. Your hometown is Meriden, and just about 30 miles, 40 miles away, 30 miles perhaps, is your grandfather buried in Middletown, Connecticut. And Brother Sly, that same town where his grandfather's laid to rest was where you were born, in Middletown, Connecticut. I think about middle age. I look at my life, I'm probably about middle age. Okay, that's gonna take you another 15 minutes of this message. You just penalized yourself. I was gonna be done in a few more minutes, but no, we're staying because if I don't think it's funny, you don't think it's funny. I'm middle-aged. Amen. Thank you. We'll have a few sinners coming forward at the invitation for lying in the house of God. There are 17 towns in America that are middle. 17 cities called middle. I think about, God bless me, my mother and dad are in heaven, my elder sister's in heaven, but I have a twin sister who's six minutes younger than me. But I'm the middle child. You know, there's something special about a middle child. The first is not that big a deal. The last is not, but the middle child. How many middle children do we have? You're adults. Look, that's the most intelligent crowd here today. How many are firstborn? Sinners. How many are the lastborn? Big time sinners right there. But the middle child, I'm the middle child. Oh, the middle. I've never met a middle child that's not perfect. In fact, the last mistake I made was 1873. It's the last one I can think of. So we have the word midst. We have the word middle. And we have the word midway. Have you ever flown into Chicago? Instead of going to O'Hare, you go to Midway Airport. There are 32 cities in America called Midway. There's the Midway ship, and there was the Battle of Midway in June of 1942, World War II. I think of words like the middle, the midst, the midway, the center. The center. Brother Pastor Joseph Brown and his wife Charity were just here. They sang the center of his will. Oh, they did such a beautiful. That's where I want to live. Right smack dab in the center. I think about the city I grew up in. About 20 minutes from here, it's called Fremont now, but I grew up, it was called Centerville. And there are 50 states and there are 50 Centervilles in America. On top of that, North Centerville, Centerville and South Centerville. I watched them playing ball. I grew up right here, and the Giants moved here in 1958. The Dodgers. And if there are any Dodger fans in this room right now, I'd like you to leave. I feel an evil spirit right now. There's no Dodger fans. I've got my eye. Raise your hand if you're a Dodger fan. Nobody. Apparently you want church. Just took 5 minutes off the message, so we're getting to good now. But both teams came from New York, one to the south, one to the north. And I remember when the Giants came here, 58, Candlestick Park. And my uncle took me there in 1962. He had a brand new T-Bird. And I remember my cousins and I went with them. They had just a piece of wood, no back, just wood bench out in the left field and right field. Of course, nothing in center field. And we got it for a dollar. And I watched that fella who died last week. I watched that fella, number 24. Say hey, they called him Willie Mays. And I watched him make those basket catches. I watched him make that catch, and you've seen it since then, where the ball's coming this way and it goes in his glove. He was an amazing ball player. I don't remember now, I think 23, 24 times he was on the All-Star. Just an amazing, he was in the center field, right in the middle of it all. I think of these words that we see. I attended Centerville Junior High School. Whether it's middle, our midst, our midway, our center, this scripture here gives us right smack dab in the middle of all these great miracles. They just fed 5,000 people, and soon he's going to feed 4,000. And in the middle of this text here, and the Bible says, and straightway immediately Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go onto the other side. They sent the multitudes away. But verse 24, when the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Where are you at today? The crowd this size and tens of thousands of people watching. Wait a minute. Right now, are you in the middle of a crisis? I guarantee it, many in this room are right in the middle of a crisis. It might be of our own doing, and most of the time it is. But it may be that God sent something in your life and in my life to help us on the journey of life. What crisis are you right in the middle of it right now? God forbid. But I know there has to be people watching. You're in the middle of a divorce. You never thought it'd come to this. You never thought he would be this way. You never thought she would be this way. You never thought of having to share the kids when you got married. You get holidays, you get the weeks, or 3 days a week, and whatever they're going to come up with. You're right in the middle of that. And if you're listening, it's probably because not of you. I think perhaps you might be in the middle of a financial reversal. In the first 6 months, it's happened for people, even in this church. It always does. And in the next 6 months, it's going to happen to somebody. Or several somebodies, or a business, you're right in the middle of it. You don't know what to do. How do I shut it down? Or how do we move it forward? Right? I don't know what to do. God's gonna give us a formula. I think if you're maybe in the middle of a medical treatment,
Brother Martinez, you do such a good job caring for all of our needy and sick in the hospital. But you know as well as I, we've got some folks that, unless there's a change, it's the last days and last weeks. People that are suffering through chemo. People in our church that are suffering with disease or something that's invaded their life. One of our good members, a leg was removed. Cancer in this church. Dialysis, it's just going on and on and on. Maybe you're trying to figure out with the doctor, how do we treat this? What do we do? Perhaps you're in the middle of a situation with a son or a daughter. As I crisscross this country preaching, everywhere I go on either a Monday night or a Tuesday night or both, I'll say to the preachers that are there, if you'll just, I won't put you on a mailing list, I won't ask you for money, but if you'll just give me a business card or a track and put on there what you want me to pray for. You don't have to put, if you want to say it's unspoken, but I need your prayers. I said, I promise you every single day for the next 30 days, I'll pray with you. I've got prayer requests where I've been recently, and today's the 30th day. And I, 30 days ago, I asked, I was up in Montana preaching on Memorial Day. And I got preachers that they said, pray for this, pray for that. Everywhere I go, I've got preachers that they say, pray for my kids. Pray for my wife. Pray for my church. There's trouble in the church. Pray for us. We just went through a split. Pray for us. We've lost our building. We've been renting. Pray for us. We have no money. We're struggling. Pray for us. I can't get a bus driver. Can't get a choir going. People used to, but COVID came and nothing's happening now. What do you do? Or, as I speak on this word, midst or middle, or center, or midway, whatever you want to call it. I want you to see some things in this text. First, Jesus is going to give you direction.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 22. And straightway, or immediately, Jesus constrained. That's more than a suggestion. His disciples to get into the ship. I want you to get in that ship. I'm going to go pray. And it was, the Bible says, eventide, evening. And Jesus then spent all of the evening and the night hours to the middle of the night praying. I wish I could tell you I'm the greatest prayer warrior that you've ever seen. But I love it when God's people give me a card and say, pray with me about this. I don't need to tell anybody about it. But if you ask me to pray for you about something, now if you're not going to pray about it, don't expect me to pray about it. But I'll pray with you if you promise me you'll pray. Sometimes it's a marital problem. And if you say, we need an appointment this week. Well, I probably won't give you one this week. But if you'll promise me this week to fast a meal or two, I'll fast with you. Because I don't want to talk to you. Well, what I think is this. I want God to give me some direction, and I'll miss breakfast gladly for you. I'll miss lunch gladly for you. Because I'm your shepherd, and you have needs, but I don't know them a lot of times if you don't tell me. And people say, well, let me tell you the whole story. I don't need the whole story. I don't want the whole story. But I need to know there's a need in your life, and it might be a marriage or it might be finances. Go ahead and tell me. And my wife knows if a lady talks to her, she'll keep it from me, and I'll keep it from her unless I say, do you mind if I tell, or do you want my wife to tell us? Tell my wife. And sometimes a man will say, no, let's just leave it right with you and me. And that's okay. It's okay with her. And sometimes some ladies say, no, don't tell pastor, just between us. That's all right too. But you should have a shepherd and a shepherd's wife that'll pray with you. You're in the right in the middle of some decision, and God says, get in the ship. There's safety in the ship. Get your marriage in the ship, the house of God. Get your marriage in the ship, the word of God. Get your marriage in the place of God. Well, I tell you what, I'm so Oh, I'm so frustrated with this decision. I'm quitting church. Well, that is sheer stupidity. When you need to be in the ship more than ever, you jump ship. What are you thinking? Yes, sir. Jesus said, I'll give you some direction. You know, the things, many things in that thought where Jesus says, hey, I'll give you direction. The disciples listened. They got on the ship. When God's word tells you to do something, do it. When the Holy Spirit of God who lives within you, if you're saved, tells you to do something, do it. Go apologize to your wife. I'm not doing that. Well, that's why the Holy Spirit of God told you to do it. Well, I didn't hear him say it. Yeah, but you thought it. That means he impressed it upon your heart. Well, I'm robbing from God. Well, then obey God. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, onefold as manyfold, is to convict us of sin. And if we're not right with our wife and went to bed last night mad and we won't talk and we won't pray together, something's wrong with you. Well, we just won't pray anymore. You know, and I've told you many times, and we always pray together every night. We've been married 51 plus years, but I'm going to tell you this. And she knows sometimes she'll giggle because I'll fall asleep praying. Or sometimes I have my Father. Last night, I think you said this to me. In fact, I know you did. She goes, what was that prayer? She said, you were all over the map. And I kept thinking, too, I think I'm getting quieter and quieter. I got real quiet, right? And quieter. I don't even know if it was a prayer, quite frankly. Who knows what it was? I do remember praying that Brother Dan would get right. He sits in the back row there. There you are in the front. I don't know all what I even prayed. And then I prayed, we have one granddaughter still lost. She's only a four-year-old, 22 and down to four. And you said you prayed for the wrong girl to get saved. No, I don't. I'm not. But I tell you what, when God impresses upon me to do something, God, couples, you're not even praying together. What are you thinking? So it's awkward. We'll start tonight. Our prayer life is not hours long. It's not a half hour long. It's not 15 minutes. We just prayed. We're closing the day out. Now, if I can stay awake 3 to 5 minutes, I'm doing great. Get some direction from God.
Yes, amen.
Well, I think we'll do this. I think I'll sell the house. I think I'll buy a car. I think I'll lead God. I think I'll get. Don't. Who cares what you think? What does God want you to do? There's so many things I'm asking God for this church, but I'm not moving any forward at all till it gives me better direction. I want direction. And this church has that history. We've never moved forward without knowing 100%. It seems like God's leading us this way. Not only did he find in the midst direction, he found destination. Look at verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship and go before, watch it, unto the, what's the next two words? Other side. Jesus did not say, I want you to go out there and get in the middle of this thing and drown, because I don't like you anyway. No, Jesus said, I want to get you to the other side. And if Jesus said you're going to arrive at the other side, you're going to get to the other side. Brother Chuck, you're not as old as I am, but you've been saved a long time. I remember 40 years ago, probably when you got saved across the street, I was just reading about it. Lance led you to Christ. Nelson. Saw it in my journal. It had to be about 40 years ago, I'm guessing. But you know, when I think about this destination, you and I know that we've lived long enough, and many of you are older than us, but I've lived long enough. It always works out. It always works out. Well, we're about to lose our home. Well, you lose your home, then you have to deal with it. And God always does. I'm going to say he comes through with the money. Maybe you're going to lose your home. I'm not happy about it. Oh, I lost my job. What do I do? Well, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you fret and worry. I've done that. I've done it over this church for 49 years, but you know what? Something happened here, and I stay up at night burdened about things for you. We're short in the general fund this first 6 months. We're short. But folks, can I tell you something? For 49 years, next month, we've been short all the time. And God somehow did it. My uncle, he's with the Lord. He built that building on the other property over there, the first building, 32,000 square feet. And Brother Bill Stoppy, he died at age 68. His wife, my aunt, died at age 68. Young, really. And I can remember coming up to every Saturday night and said, Uncle Bill, I'm going to stop the project. We have no money. He goes, how much do we have? I said, $14 left. He said, well, we got $14. You got Sunday. Raise some more money. And we'll just keep going. We're not stopping, son. He taught me something. I thought it was going to take a year. It took 2 years. I thought it was going to cost $550,000. It cost $1.2 million. But the building's been done since 1983. And the three-story building over there has been done since 1993. And somehow, and I can remember, I was reading my journals because we're getting ready for the 50th year. And it said, we raised 14, our church is small little crowd of people. We raised $14,000 today to keep the building, read it this week, keep the building project going. Well, if God has done it for 49 years, God's going to keep doing it. I approached the business manager. I said, I drive the church car. I'd like to sell that. I'd like to pay for the asphalt out here. He said, the deacons won't let you do it. Deacons, I'm probably coming to you. It's no big deal. Why? Because this church means more to me than a car. Maybe someone will give me a Lamborghini. I don't need all that. And we're not in a crisis moment. The nation is. But it always works out. I want you on the other side. Stop worrying about all these things. Take no thought for tomorrow. It always takes. God's got a destination, and life gets you somehow to the other side. And so I see there's a direction in the middle of your life, and there's a destination. Look at the disturbance. The ship, verse 24, was now in the midst of the sea. What's the next word? Tossed with the waves, and what? Wind was contrary. That's probably you today, isn't it? And there are times it's me too when I'm tossed and I'm in turbulence. And I think this storm is just overwhelming. How much longer, God? When will there be relief? When will the sunlight on the other side? When will the sun shine again? Disturbances are part of life. God gives a direction. God gives you a destination, get the other side. But in the midst of that, there are going to be disturbances. I want you to see there's a deliverer. The Bible says in verse 23, and when he sent the multitude away, he went up to a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. He was there alone. Look at verse 25. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Jesus always shows up, friend. If you're looking for him, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh to you. And so you've heard me say it before, Brother Fanera, if you're right over there, and he'll represent, I'm not trying to be rude or irreverent, he'll represent God. I want God, come on over, and we demand God what to do. Get over here. He's not helping. And he says to me, Jack, draw. And here's what I do. Look at that. We're closer. Now, God, I got closer to you. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I need you to help me more.
Draw nigh to me.
Yeah, you draw nigh to me this time. God's word says, if I draw nigh to him, he's going to draw nigh to me. And when you're in the storm, please, God, help me. I don't know what to do.
Draw nigh.
Thank you very much. And he walks with me. You know, Brother Travis, there's many times I've left him out of the equations. Out of the equation. But can I tell you something? There's many times I've drawn nigh to him. Walking throughout the house at midnight hour when I can't sleep. Every night I wandered around last night. Oh, I tell you what, he draws nigh because I draw nigh to him first. What we do, Brother Raul, what we do, you're all so animated when I preach. Thank you, nodding your head back there. God bless you. But you know what we do? We get mad at God. I'm not going to church Sunday because, man, I prayed, I fasted, I this, and you didn't come through. I just need to keep drawing nigh to him. I just need to get closer and closer and closer. Here was the middle of the night. No need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Amen. Safely this far, Jesus has led me. No need to doubt him now. Don't doubt him.
Amen.
You're safe this far, thus far. He'll make a way the rest of the way. I've got this song. It's the old song written 1905. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. I like that second stanza. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. The third, in the midst of my faults and failures, stand by me. The fourth stanza, in the midst of persecution, stand by me. Right when you're in the middle of it. Trials and tribulations and struggles and persecution, right in the middle of it. Stand by me. When I'm growing old and weary, stand by me. When I'm growing old and weary, stand by me. Oh, I like that. The songwriter said, when my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Jesus came to them. They're crying out. He came to them. Brother Martinez, we sang, in the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face. While the storm, the man who wrote that died, I think he's 95, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Storm howls, and he had nothing but a lot of sorrows in his life. Old preacher. Howled around me, and there's no hiding place amid the crash of the thunder. Precious Lord, hold my hand, lead me on, whatever the word is. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. You know that chorus? Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder, till the till the clouds roll from ever from the sky. Hold me fast.
Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand.
Keep
me safe in the storm.
In the dark of the midnight. That we will sing it. Once I stood in the night with my head bound low. How about through it all? I know I'm over time tonight, today. Through it all, just the course. Through. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I'm so late, I'll give you the last one and just say it. I see there's always a delight in the midst of your storm. Look at, please, verse 32. 32. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, when this is Peter walking on the water, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, three words, the wind ceased. Right in the middle. Today's the middle of the year. It's a good day for you to get saved. It's a good day to trust God. And if you think you can make it without God, someone's fooled you, or you fooled yourself.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.